You're listening to David Lee Roth. Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Shockingly consistent. Umelinganisha moja kwa moja kwa David Lee Roth. Moto kidogo na sanamu za kushangaa.
Give me a little guitar one time there, babe. Smoke it up.
Radio. Hey, this isn't a studio. It's a panic room. I feel stranded up here like I'm supposed to bring my 10 favorite albums and wait for a message in a bottle. Now, the guys at CBS told me this is a studio. I thought it was the final frontier. So you mean the palm trees and the road trips were just the candy you used to get me in the van, Tom? Roth Radio, ruining it for everybody else. Broadcasting live, or as live as we're ever going to be, from New York, all the way to Philadelphia, Dallas, roll out, cowgirl, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, it's all within reach. The Wrecking Crew is here this morning, and we got news. How are you guys?
Good, David.
Good. Excellent.
Good morning,
Brad and Angela, and Baby Makes Three. I like the music in the background. It makes it sound like something's actually going to happen with those characters. The fourth stooge is about to happen, right? When you play the music, it sounds like there's something.
Here comes Shemp.
My Shemp's favorite joke that I ever remember was when he was eating soup and he was talking about he had 11 dependents. He said he has one ex-wife and 10 lawyers, right? That's what's in the future here. Do you think? The prenuptial on this thing is going to be as long as my femur. Don't look, baby. I'll point.
Hey, that's not your femur.
Roth Radio, the man with his thumb on the pulse of American... Hey, that's not his thumb. Hey, maybe it is. Does anybody know the name of the kids? They're public figures now, right? The kid with the, whatchamacallit?
The mohawk.
Kids?
Yeah, it's Maddox. And the new little one from Ethiopia is Zahara.
I thought they were lucky and luckier.
Turn Nick up there, Hutch, a little bit. They're lucky and luckier?
Lucky and luckier.
Okay, I get it. It's a play on Dumb and Dumber.
A play on they got plucked from the third world and are now living a Beverly Hills lap of luxury and lifestyle. That's a pretty sweet deal.
Angela is a very busy girl, and I'm wondering if she's too busy. You know, there's a downside to multitasking, right? Seriously. You know, she's saving the world. I thought that was Bono's job.
Well, he's got a partner now.
Okay, and she's acting. She's involved in all kinds of acting.
Mm-hmm.
She's adopting kids who need a whole lot of extra care.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is.
Okay, all BS aside, those kids need extra attention.
Yep.
All showbiz aside, that's not a chihuahua that you can get somebody to walk a little bit later. Seriously, you got a kid there. And you know what happens to kids in showbiz, right? That this is in the making. We're about to see the Olsen twins all over again with these kids. Anytime you put a mohawk on a kid, it either screams, look at me, where's the camera? Or,
Or look at my mom.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering what that's all about, because mom doesn't like talking to her dad, as in 7 years worth. I thought I was angry with my family. 7 years worth, that's right. Man, that's life plus forever.
That's
and
true.
What's that going to shed onto the kid? That's what I mean by there's a whole lot going on the plate. And when somebody keeps shoveling on and shoveling on, it's too much little stuff, you think?
Yeah, I also, it's interesting, you know, Brad didn't even get 1 year in the clear with just, like, beautiful Angelina Jolie. He came with the two adopted kids. She's pregnant now. I hear that if this kid is a boy, he's going to be born whipped.
was Brad married
to Jennifer Aniston? Yeah.
He was married to Jennifer Aniston. What's the attraction there? I think I like it.
They were two of the most beautiful people on the planet.
Well, go ahead.
They had I think it was a $2 million wedding. Out on the bluffs in Malibu.
Turn your mic down. Turn the music up. Go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
They had a $2 million wedding out on the bluffs in Malibu. And the way I hear it is Brad wanted to have kids, and Jennifer didn't want to stop her career. Her career was just starting to happen.
What kind of career does Jennifer Aniston actually have?
Well, she's becoming a pretty big movie star, and as you know, she had 10 years on Friends. And when they stopped making
Friends... Stop right there. Does that indicate a total career?
You know, she has a career because she's an attractive woman who can be funny. And those don't grow on trees. That's like left-handed pitching in baseball. You don't have to be the best to have a 15-year career if you can throw from the left-hand side because you've just got you've got an advantage. And in comedy, you need somebody who's attractive and she's a good comedic actress. Well, she's doing a lot of movies.
Do you consider a comedic actress?
I think that the public does. I know she's not my, you know.
No, because I don't think they think of her as comedic actors. I think the whole idea of Friends and everything is that's mm-hmm, what I call audience mm-hmm. dependent. A lot of rock bands are exactly that same way.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't look like the audience, you don't talk like the audience, then you don't belong to that audience.
And she is trying to get serious now. She's trying to get, you know, more dramatic.
Can you ever get serious after you've done comedy and showbiz, really? Really? Because there's a lot of dramatic guys who've started off like Nicholson or De Niro. You start off rough, then you can show a bit lighter side like Clint Eastwood or so forth.
Good point.
But once you are even the greatest, Charlie Chaplin, you think Jim Carrey will ever be taken seriously as a dramatic actor? Because I think he's got it in him, but I don't think he'll ever be taken seriously on that.
Well, that's the perfect example because he was one of the funniest guys around, and then he kept trying to do dramatic roles, and it just never happened for him.
You can always smell the movie that's sort of the Oscar nod push, you know. I'm going to play a retard. I'm going to play, you know,
the real ugly girl, Charlize Theron.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
wait.
Exactly.
Playing a retard is always, you know,
Oscar gold.
No. The actors are retards. The people they're portraying are disadvantaged. Okay, I'm gonna be square on this. Okay, those are people who are disadvantaged or challenged. Okay,
yes.
The actors and their agents are retards.
They are.
Seriously, and it's always been a fast track in Hollywood to play somebody who's disadvantaged. Sean Penn did it.
That's
Rain
right.
Man did it. So what happened to Anna Nicole Smith's career?
She started out that way.
Well, she actually is that way.
Yeah,
so you can't be that way.
Roll tape.
That's why I'll never be in a real movie, because I actually exist. Anna Nicole really exists. You know,
you can't suspend your belief when she's already so dramatic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she actually is a something. Most best actors, you have no idea what's there underneath, do you? What kind of personality does De Niro actually have? Do you have any idea?
I know
no
he's got
idea.
An American Express card and he loves New York.
All you know is what his ex-girlfriends tell you, right?
That's
same thing
right.
for De Niro, Nicholson. All you ever really hear is what some skinny ex-girlfriend says or somebody goes digging around in the garbage.
It's true.
Have you ever had somebody digging around in the garbage? Make
just
digging around in the garbage noise there. Brian Young in the background live.
Nice.
Well, we have our own Paul Schaefer band, but he's a one-man band. He's an army. He's an army of one, man. That's what he is. Go ahead, baby. Oh, look at this. Dave Roth uses Magnums. Big surprise. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and a whole lot. She wants me to say it.
I want you to say it so bad.
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, please. Oh, come on. Oh, give it to me.
Oh,
give it to me.
You little slut. Yakima.
Oh, snap.
866-31. No, you know, I don't want to open the phones yet. I feel like complaining for a little while longer.
Do let's.
Brad Angela and Baby Makes Three, but if you add in Eminem and his wife, well, now she's his wife again, right?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. they applied for a license yesterday, and hello, rehab.
Well, he's got enough money for future rehab here.
Indeed.
He can open his own at this point.
I liked Eminem better when he was Iced Tea. No, Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice was the guy, right?
I liked him better when he was Pat Boone.
Well,
you're not a fan of the M?
No, I like M, but I don't love M. You know, there are bands that or musicians that just, you know, change you forever and stuff. And he's fun to watch, but he's a singer. He's not the singer. Just one word can really change your stuff, right?
Interesting.
Really, I'm Dave Roth, the singer.
Mm-hmm.
See how that goes by? It's perfectly digestible. It doesn't sound right when you say he's Dave Roth, he's a singer. See, Sammy Hagar is a singer.
It genericizes.
He's not the singer.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't genericize. That's not a big enough word for Sam. It marginalizes him. And we're going to be discussing Sam a little bit, a part of Sam that most people are unfamiliar with. We have a fella coming in from the UFO extraterrestrial. Do you got a name on that, guys? I think they pinned it to the wall and I lost it here.
Michael C. Luckman.
Mike Luckman is coming by. And does it have the name of his organization? It's the extraterrestrial. There's a rock and roll connection somewhere.
The rock and roll extraterrestrial connection by Michael Luckman.
And what, there's a connection between rock and roll people and UFOs. And yep. Sammy Hagar yep. has gone on record describing that. Here, oh, here it is. Yeah, alien rock.
Sammy claims to have downloaded everything that was in my head.
Aliens did that.
Yes, I downloaded from aliens.
I would believe that from him. I believe
that must have taken about 5 minutes.
I wonder how many of these guys admit to sex experiments, because that was
interesting.
Oh, there, listen, he's got it.
I like it. Let the probing begin.
And here comes that music right on key. That doesn't sound like Sammy music, but it reminds us. Mick Jagger and Marianne Faithfull encountered a luminous cigar-shaped mothership while camping in the English countryside in 1968. I think Linda was describing one of those earlier. Or actually, I think it was you, Robin, and you called it Bob.
That was Linda.
Bring your own boyfriend. Yeah. Yeah, how many batteries does it fit? Animal, how are you this morning?
Hey, boss, how you doing this morning, man?
You look lively this morning. Where'd you go last night? Anywhere interesting?
Oh, no, I just went down and had a little drink at the bar and called it a night.
What's a little drink for you? You weigh almost... how many? Okay, I got a question. What'd you have for breakfast? This is a guy who's 6'5" and is almost 400 pounds? 360 pounds or so. What'd you eat for breakfast?
Well, I hadn't had breakfast yet, man. I'm waiting on it right now.
What'd you guys have anything interesting? Because I eat nothing but garbage.
Yeah, I didn't wake up early enough to have breakfast. I mean, my breakfast right now is a lemon Ricola. Breakfast of champions.
Quadruple espresso and a fistful of Tylenol? Nothing but, yeah, Roth Radio, New York. Wake up and smell the rock star. Philadelphia, Dallas. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the rock and roll extraterrestrial connection. And Mr. Luckman himself has an interesting background there. Eminem, tell me, is he getting married again? This is a renewment? Yep. Or is what, you get an annulment, and then what happens? Well, you got to go through the whole schlemiel again?
Yeah, they're getting a license. It's the whole nine yards. And, you know, he just came out of rehab, and I guess he found... Yeah, he just came out of rehab dependent, say, on...
He needed to find the only woman who loved him before he was metrosexual.
No, a lot of these guys, you know, it's the same thing. I've heard a lot of guys describe, oh, she helped me when I was sick. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was there. I met her backstage and I was vomiting. I'm quoting. I'm not going to tell you who in the band.
She held back my hair.
Oh, totally. totally. So,
but he says he trusts her, and that, they have that kid together, Haley, I think her name is, and that she was there before he was Eminem, when he was still Marshall.
So she knew that totem pole when he was just a tree stump. And now they're getting back together. I think this is a disaster looking for a place to happen. Do they have kids?
They do. They have.
Well, that's where it'll happen to. It's like a country. Two little countries walking around waiting to get bombed. Joint directed attack munitions by the ruined relationship of M and his... did I just shorten that?
M. Welcome to the future, Mr. Mathers. I like it.
This is like postmodern. I'm having a Diddy moment.
You mean Diddy?
Where do you go?
I know, what's left?
Well, you can go to one syllable, and, you know, that works.
Yeah, it could be
It's the chocolate diet stuff. Jamie Foxx on top of the music charts. Continues digging gold as his sophomore album, Unpredictable, spent its second straight week at number one. Usually, actors don't get anywhere in music, because in music, it's supposed to be for real, y'all, right? Mm-hmm. You got to believe in it, that you actually live it, and that's what I meant by I'll probably never, ever be an actor in a movie, because I actually exist. The character that you know and especially the allegations, is real. So anytime I'm going to walk out on the screen, you go, there's Dave.
Yeah.
And no matter what I wear, you go, that's Dave. Same way as the reason you never saw Jagger or any of these guys up there. Consequently, or conversely, when you get somebody like Jamie Foxx, who is a great actor,
great,
a great comic, whatever, is you don't really know what's underneath there. All right, yeah. You get a little bit of it during the interviews, you know, and he's, you know, he's got the usual. He does what they do in what they call in baseball, I don't know, the routine. How you doing today, James? Oh, arm feels good. Mm-hmm. Curveball's dropping just right. Just want to take it day by day, game by game.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's also got what you were talking about earlier, Dave, you know, trying to transition from a base where he's... I worked with Jamie on In Living Color. Brilliantly talented guy. But that's our first impression. And for some reason, the comedians want to sing. You know, there's a time-honored tradition of... I mean, when I read this story, I thought two words, Eddie Murphy, my girl parties all the time. That was a number one single. Yeah. So, you know, you can hop on board for a moment, but we don't really find a comfort zone with you there because we want you to make us laugh. Like you said, we go to a Jim Carrey movie, and I've worked with Jim, too, and he's brilliant. And like you said, he's got great acting in him, but we're always a little disappointed he isn't eating his own foot or something, you know? And that's the gig. You know, that's why you get $20 million a movie. And Jamie, who can do everything, you know, I mean, remember Belushi sang? Remember Jerry Lewis, he sang. You know,
so they all do.
Remember there was that time where you'd see Jerry Lewis doing a variety show or something, and he'd start singing. And you're thinking, oh, this is great. He's doing a character because he's singing like this. And you'd be, oh, he's serious.
True.
Oh, this is awkward.
Yeah, it becomes very awkward. And that's what I meant earlier about once you've done the comedy, how do you go to being taken serious? And I think Jamie has kind of hit on top of something here. He's got that sense of humor. And the song that I know of it, Animal, do you know the song? It's about Gold Digger.
No, I'm not familiar with that song.
Yeah, it's my girl is a gold digger. She don't want no broke.
I'm familiar with it now.
Oh, come on. They were singing it on MTV, yeah, man. Right, I'm not privy to anything special.
No, you're right. Jamie knows what he's doing. He toasted the ESPYs one year, and he sang a song to Serena Williams, I Want to Be Your Tennis Ball. And it was great. And he's, you know, good chops, but he had fun in it, too.
I think what's happening is that new generation's coming on, and it doesn't make such a big difference that, you know, you do one thing, you do them all.
Mm-hmm.
Doing them all. More about that after this. David Lee. It's One World, One Love, White Girl. Okay, Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia. Speaking of white girls, there's somebody sent in a thing here. Before we get too far down the line, it turns out that Hollywood talent agencies, CAA and William Morris, are already courting Brad and Angelina's baby. Oh, yeah, yeah. The baby has a three-picture deal and with major back-end money at Sony, though, it turns out. And the baby's gender is undetermined, but they know it has a mohawk because they saw it on the sonogram machine that they borrowed from Tom Cruise. Does.
I'm in love, baby. No, really, I'm in love, baby. Play some guitar there. Get it up, white boy. Play a guitar. Give me the music, Posh. Wake up, wake up.
All right, we're back for Jamie Foxx here. I'm Jamie Foxx. Something happened. It's like Watermelon Man. My black rage externalized, man. Do you think I have black rage, Animal? You'd be an expert on that.
Oh, man, you're just like James Brown, man.
Super Bowl coming around the corner. When exactly is the Super Bowl, Nick? You know,
February 5.
Okay, and...
in Detroit, Michigan.
Something says here it's that they extended shopping for most consumer electronics peaks around Christmas time. The Super Bowl on February 6 sends the holiday season into overtime. The NFL and the College Bowl season is the gift that keeps on giving for us, said somebody. And blah, 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 blah. So what are they doing? They're extending the sales season or something? What's going on there?
Well, I guess it's all the advertising that just keeps rolling and rolling because Super Bowl's like the next big national holiday.
When did it used to be? Did they like extend it further into the year?
Well,
is that what they
earlier,
meant?
Earlier, actually. Yeah. It used to be January.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Earlier.
This is unusual. February Super Bowl, highly unusual. So,
they did it specifically so they could sell more stuff.
Oh, you know, I don't know whether they're crediting it for some kind of a gust here or whether they actually planned it that way, but the NFL partners are pretty good with corporate America. I wouldn't be surprised.
Pretty good. I'll give you an idea of good. Here's who advertising on the Super Bowl. You ready for this? Get comfortable. Open up an Anheuser-Busch. Have some Emerald Nuts. Get ready to figure out your career builders because you'll get there in a Cadillac, a Ford, a Volvo, a Honda. You'll use your Visa or your MasterCard to get some Pepsi. You'll visit GoDaddy. You'll use Unilever deodorant. You'll visit the WBNA bank, and you'll get it up with Cialis.
not this year. Remember, they took the Cialis and Levitra ads.
Well, then
off
you
this
can
year.
Use Tabasco or FedEx if
that'll
it has
help.
To be there till tomorrow,
or if you need to get it up.
Yeah, and you'll be training on Subway, Frito-Lay, Pizza Hut, Olympus, McDonald's. You get the idea. Mm-hmm. I love it. Tireless self-promotion is the American way, baby.
You know, the fun part of the Super Bowl is in Detroit this year, and now all those corporate sponsors are going to be able to know what it's like to be robbed at gunpoint.
I'll tell you, Gene Simmons, to get reality show. Gene Simmons, champion drag racer, John Force, and Las Vegas salesman info, blah, 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 blah. Somebody's got to simplify this stuff. Anyway, Gene Simmons has a show coming up called The Family Jewels. This is his reality. I love Gene. Have you seen his thing with when the Rock School? Did you see any episodes
didn't
of that?
Didn't see it. Heard it was great.
Oh, it was superb. And I don't mean just a normal reality show because you weren't laughing at Gene. Not in that guilty pleasure way. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch the Gastineau girls, it's a guilty pleasure. When you watched Rich Girls, Hilfiger's daughter, whatever, it was a guilty pleasure. You know, you couldn't take your eyes off it. It's like a car crash, and the best you would feel at the end of the show is that nobody got actually killed, and you can come back to the scene of the crime next Wednesday,
and,
right?
And it was a little disappointing.
Which was disappointing, Sue? What? What was
that nobody actually got killed.
Well,
or at least a little maimed.
Yeah, but yeah, come on.
They're saving that for sweeps.
You're a cynic.
Yeah,
like,
that's a sweeps episode.
Robin, you're a cynic like everybody listening to this show. Knock it off. Gene Simmons, Family Jewels. But wait a minute, before I go back. He was doing a thing at a British private school, and they really didn't know what they had signed up for exactly. The kids especially, you know, it's a different generation and whatever, you know. And he started teaching the kids, and there was one little kid who was the total rock star. He was the one who spoke Elvish,
right,
you know,
right,
and drew pictures, and he was the outcast. And then he became the incast. He became, you know, and Gene would describe, you know, in every group of people, there is one rock star. And this guy may seem really out of control, but he's just the guy. And there was a great scene where they had gone on the internet and checked him out. And, you know, the whole school got together with the teachers, you know, the democracy or, you know, practicing parliamentary procedure as high school students. And there's like 300 kids sitting around. And one of these kids stands up. You can tell he's going to be in parliament someday. He's going to be a lawyer. Right now, he's probably 15 years old. And he stands up and he says, "We were very surprised." Try and turn it down. I'm going to try my British accent here, man. "We were very surprised to discover that Mr. Simmons has allegedly slept with over 5,000 young ladies."
And that was just Tuesday.
And Gene stood up, and he had the best quote of all. He said, he stood up and he said, "I resent the use of the word allegedly."
You're a witness.
And I got to give him credit. Even the kids cracked up, and the headmaster cracked up. I went to a private boarding school like that for a while. And that's serious stuff.
That's a movie I want to write.
You know, it's
Diamond
like,
Dave.
Like the Emperor's Club.
School.
Oh, sure. You saw the Kevin Klein movie, Emperor's Club, or whatever. That same thing.
I love it.
Exactly that. I wear a blazer to dinner every night with a school crest, and we played rugby. In fact, you had what was called a mentor. That was somebody that was assigned to you. It wasn't a counselor or whatever. Back in the 60s, you had a mentor. And that was somebody who coached you through all of your academic pursuits and, you know, sporting and everything like this. You lived on campus. And his name was Ossory M. Butler III, an admiral from the British Navy.
Pardon me.
Oh, man. You want to know why I am me? I love it. I ain't the best looking, but I am the right tool for the job. Osriam Butler III used to walk around on the field smoking a pipe during rugby practice, man. I'll show you the scars.
His wife's name Lovey?
We never got to meet the wife. It was the 60s. It was the 60s, baby. Women were retired and protected. Oh, it was Ascot time and everything, you know. And everybody had to sit and listen to Mr. Hooper, the headmaster, at 7 in the morning. Wow. Now you got to listen to me on Roth Radio. What's worse? Maybe this. Gene Simmons, Family Jewels, and it's featuring his partner, Shannon Tweed. She was a playmate, right?
Sure.
Yes, of the year.
If you have Showtime, you know Shannon Tweed. She's in every softcore movie. So I've heard, sweetheart. plays after 2 a.m.
Okay, it's not softcore. It's B-list. It's detective movie with boobs. It's, you know, it's a car chase.
Nick was being a gentleman.
Yeah, but B-list is a whole genre in itself now. Come on, there are entire stores that market just that downtown. Yeah. You follow? Really, that's considered, there are people who base their whole television show on that genre. I know magazines like Film Threat and whatnot that cater purely to that kind of material here.
Disposable, under the radar, you know, output. And it's interesting stuff. If you have to wait, they make you work for the topless scene. You have to work, you know?
Well, that's like real life then, isn't it?
Ain't it?
I just paid $10.50 to do exactly what I do with my wife.
Gee, this champagne VIP lounge ain't what I thought it'd be.
Well, perhaps not for you, Nick, but there is sex in the champagne room.
What's the deal with Gene Simmons' tongue? Was that real? Did he really cut that muscle under his tongue?
No, come on. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix put acid under his headband, and that's where the star-spangled My Country Tizzity came from.
So you're saying he's actually a mutant?
Can she be controlled?
No, not lately.
Hopefully not.
Not for less than $100. Okay.
Actress and model, blah, blah, blah. And their kids, Nick and Sophie. I seen the kids on the TV set. They're cool. Nick is a great name, by the way.
Grazie.
Nick Bakay, actually, is our guest here this morning. And his lovely wife, Robin. And our lovely brother from another
planet, big animal.
Nick and Robin Bakay and their son, Animal.
Animal, you clean up your room.
All right. You don't send it to my room, are you, Mom?
No more kicking ass for you until that room is spick and span.
Oh, man, don't torture me like that. I gotta kick some ass, please.
I don't know what we're gonna do with that boy, Snookums. He's a good kid.
Can I move to the basement?
Okay. Yeah, you can. And what you're going to do down there, I'm going to be suspecting, is probably like what Pete Doherty is pleading guilty to here. Rock singer. Do you like how I dovetailed that?
Nice.
It's a dovetail. I can't spell segue. Okay. Rock singer Pete Doherty pleaded guilty on Wednesday to possession of cocaine and heroin. This kid's going both ways at once. We should introduce him to Angelina. The 26-year-old frontman for the rock group Baby Shambles, don't know it. Anybody know Baby Shambles?
Not me.
Okay, sounds like a stripper's name. Allegedly, from what I'm told. Who's on off relationship with supermodel? Here's the crux move. Supermodel Kate Moss. That's his connect. That's why we should care about Baby Shambles. Kate Moss has made him a regular in the tabloids. She was arrested November 30th, formally charged on Monday, and then Wednesday, which is anything could happen day, blah, 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 blah. The sixth day, he lit a candle and rested or whatever. Anyway, they found him with packets of heroin and packets of ounces of cocaine, and where the real story is, Pete, sorry, 1-800, see ya, is your girlfriend. This is like a Bennifer move, right? Mm. Who cares about him? I want to know what's going to happen to supermodel Kate Moss, because she's cool looking. She has a kid, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's got all the, you know, she's got a small but manageable drinking problem.
Right. She also went to rehab after this whole thing, and she lost a bunch of contracts, and I think they're all coming back now.
Of course they're coming back. She represents, man. She represents a lot. And in terms of, you know what, you're signaling me you want to go to spots? Well, let me raise my, well, let me raise my voice a little bit. You should start leaving the chick alone. Everybody is on this girl's case, and she's doing nothing that nobody else is doing. Virtually every one of us in this room and everybody's on in the streets has got something, some little piece of a skeleton of a, well, here's what I like. I don't care if you're just wearing a counterfeit wristwatch like me, baby. Don't lie, because we're on Roth Radio, and I can tell.
David Lee Roth.
Cleveland's classic rock.
Это чистая сила. Radio Rov 6M.
Broadcasting worldwide. I don't think people get the idea of this show yet. Guests keep wanting backstage laminates and asking who's opening for me. I suppose telling them that Motley Crue isn't helping.
Right. I was kind of hoping for Nazareth.
Love hurts!
Hey, you know, getting back to that Pete Doherty baby shambles, I haven't really heard the band, but I understand that it's going to be his jail name.
Oh, that's going to hurt in the morning.
I just sold
and we feel bad
shambles.
About saying that. So go ahead, Nick.
I just sold baby shambles for a carton of Luckies. Is that wrong?
It is wrong. And that even somebody just recently, I had a news thing here that somebody wants to, where is it? Somebody wants to make sure that in jail they share cots. I just saw a news item come through. In Utah is what it is. And they're suggesting that there are so many prisoners now that we've incarcerated so many people that they want to do what they do on aircraft carriers. It's called hot cotting or whatever, in that you sleep in shifts. One guy has 12 hours, the other guy has 12 hours, but you sleep in the same bed. Yeah. I can't imagine what the... Well, they're already doing that in prison, aren't they?
Oh, they're places that are so overcrowded. They got guys, you know, crammed into what is a one-man cell, right? That's a nationwide issue.
And prisons are the most happening business that any city can get now. If you get a prison... Everybody, you know, the whole prison guard issue there is covered. You can drive up into Northern California where my father worked. He's a prison doctor. He worked in Folsom Prison. He worked in San Quentin and Supermax up in Pelican Bay and so forth. And the cities around those areas, they have jobs.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it's not just crop dusting or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, you've got the food services, you've got medical services, you've got transportation, every plumber, every electrician, masonry. Go ahead.
Those funny bus drivers, those white buses with the gated windows.
That's right. Somebody has to drive those.
Somebody's got to pump some diesel in them. It's a beautiful thing.
Have you ever visited those places? A Supermax or something?
Oh, Serpents, you bet I have.
What are they like? I always wondered. The Supermax particularly really intrigued.
No fun. What you see is really romantic in the television, romanticized. Will you dig? What you don't hear is the noise that goes on in there. Mm-hmm. What you don't smell is the smells that go on in there. My pop ran a medical biz for quite an amount of time, and the family, you know, was involved in that. My sisters have been up through all those institutions as well.
They must have liked her up there.
Ooh, that's rough stuff. There's no joke about
it.
We keep romanticizing, you know, the way prison is in television. You know, you see how Snoop Doggy walks when you kind of shuffle your feet kind of tight together and you keep your hands just in tight. That's significant of, like, you showed up for your court appearance, right? You know, when you have your hands shuckled in front of you at a belt there, and you got your shoelaces got taken away, right? So you kind of shuffle like a basketball shuffle a little bit like that. And that way, when you get back in the barrio, then they know you got placas, you got new tattoos, and that's a rite of growing up, whatever. But once you get there, there's nothing sounds like Folsom Prison during feeding time, man. That is... unbelievable. And, you know, it rises up like 9, 12 foot, whatever floor is there. And, you know, the same thing is when you watch the Mideast on television. What you don't hear is the noise going on in the background with all the people yelling and all the cars honking and the music. Yep. What you don't smell is the smells. You don't get that from National Geographic or off of a magazine page. Yeah. You know, prison, you want nothing to do with that, I'll tell you.
It'd be fun to have a scratch and sniff National Geographic.
Hey, honey, come over here and take a whiff of this elk turd. Am I crazy or is this delicious?
I think it's got a tamarind thing.
Let's have some tang with it. Jack White has vocal trouble, from explaining what happened. The Whites? Oh, no. I was thinking Jack White from, what was the band that got burned up with everybody?
Oh, that was Great White.
That was Great White with Jack somebody.
Jack Russell.
Oh, wasn't he a terrier?
Nice try, but they can't all be gems. Yeah. Roth
Jack
Radio.
White Stripes.
He's the guy. His voice didn't go up when he turned 13. It went sideways. Right? And I'm still convinced in that first great single when he's playing the lead guitar solo, I'm convinced that's somebody on a kazoo. I'm not kidding. I'll have to get a kazoo because when you move up into the high range, I swear to God, I can do a Hendrix imitation that'll knock your left eye out.
So that means if I go over to the Guitar Center right now, I can find a little metal box that will turn my Marshall and my Les Paul into the powerful kazoo sound that I'm looking for.
No. You need an actual kazoo.
All you need is about 59 cents.
And you do it. I swear to God. Listen to it next time. We'll have to get that. I forget what the first single is. That's the song. Somebody tell me what song that, because when it goes into the solo, it sounds like a guy on a kazoo, because we use it. Come on, I've spent a lot of time in the back of a tour bus entertaining myself.
Yeah, anyway. But what about the kazoo?
Slut, I love you. Jack White has vocal trouble. The White Stripes postponed a string of Japanese tour dates after Jack White was diagnosed with an acute vocal cord problem. Well, that sounds like Latin medical. As part of his treatment, the doctors have instructed, let me guess, Jack not to speak or sing for the next 2 weeks. The Detroit duo says blah, blah, blah. You know, well, that's why we play music in the background, because it makes it all seem like a lot more imminent, a lot more,
you know. With the hippopod, Macadocious,
yeah. Naked News takes off in Japan. Naked News, which features anchors and reporters who disrobe during newscasts, launched its risque take on current affairs in Japan. What happens is these guys, the program with nothing to hide, a unique concept for the Japanese market. That's the Japanese are traditionally unique, but evidently they take off their clothes while they're reading the news. is right. You know, this is like a gee whiz. I look for you. You have two kinds of articles. When I read the news or I'm looking at the news on the TV set, you got two. You got a gee whiz and a hey, Marge. Do you know what I'm talking about, Nick?
I think I do. I get the gee whiz. What's a hey? Oh, hey, Marge, you got to come look at this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is a gee whiz.
It's like my dad when he sees a marching band. My father, every time he sees a marching band on TV, you hear in the background, Judy! Hey, Judy! Marching band! Judy!
We've lived through a couple of those.
It's had no impact on you as an adult either, has it? Okay, Naked News sounds to me like when they do topless car wash. Do you really stop and get your
topless
car washed?
Topless donut shop.
Topless. What else have they done? Topless,
Pick 'em. They've been topless. Everything.
Is there such a thing as topless restaurants? Because at the striptease, they serve food, but who eats dinner at the striptease?
Isn't that what Hooters is supposed to be? Essentially, I mean, they can't be topless, so they're almost topless.
I don't know. Hooters is like Dallas Cowgirls, 1970s. Yeah. That's a vague and futile stab at yuppie porn. I think that Victoria's Secret did that much better.
The Naked News is interesting, though, because it'll be the first time I can get all my headline news and put it in the Yank Bank. Looking forward.
Would you even pay attention to what they're saying?
No, especially when they do traffic and it's just a big colonoscopy can. Oh, we have a polyp on the 405.
Prisons are really crowded in Idaho. Okay, that's the news that we read with space scares in the U.S. prison pod. We went through that one.
Well, one thought I had on that, though, it's in Utah. So you got to believe.
It's not Utah, it's Idaho.
Oh, well, the same difference. I've been to both.
I can't believe
that's the only prison area cluster in America where the Aryan Nation is the boss, right? That's the place where any black guy gets incarcerated there, he walks in and he goes, oh my God.
That's right.
Wall to wall Nazis.
Everywhere else now is Spanish speaking or Afro American, whatever. Have you ever been an incarcerated animal? You ever been in jail, brother?
Oh, yeah, I've been in jail several times, but I've never really been in prison. I've been in jail But not lately.
Talking to the microphone there,
okay,
but
yeah. Was it voluntary?
When was the last? Yeah, was, voluntary jail.
Now, I was like, it had maximum lockup in there because
that would be the only thing that would contain you.
Yeah, well, you know, when I got in there, I took over all the commissary. You had to come through me and stuff, you know, me and this one guy, you know, we was running things up in there, man. And then when I got ready to get out, I ain't want to leave, man.
What, three hots and a cot? In a good weight pit, right?
Yeah, because we had trouble. Like, we had a choice to go lift weights or go outside and play basketball. And since I wanted to lift weights, everybody hated me because they wanted to go outside. We're going to only go out for an hour anyway. And I said, we're going to pump iron today. We want to go outside. I say, what? Oh, okay, we're going to pump iron today, homie. You know, like that.
No, wait, at your biggest, what were you bench pressing? What was your biggest?
Oh, man, that was my heydays, too, because last time I was incarcerated was in, like, 97 was the last time, knock on wood, you know. But anyway, you know, the whole weight room, they told me, you the only guy I've ever seen could just lift everything on the rack. I said, hey, man, you know, put some more on, you know, if you got it. So, but they didn't have it, so, you know.
Your name is Latimo, right?
Latimo.
And how much could you bench press?
Well, in my heydays, I could do 600 in a wet in a rubber suit with a 3-second pause.
600 horses in a Chrysler mill makes him king of the hill.
I have to tell you that as parents, it really hurts to hear these jail stories
And if you want to catch up with my old squad, go to DarrellFox.com. It's in Birmingham, Alabama. They still pumping iron, still got the club going.
Oh, they're still incarcerated?
No, this wasn't incarcerated.
But
they should be.
At 6'5", could you imagine when they wanted to play basketball, everybody would, you know, get him. He would be first.
He's not a basketball player.
It doesn't matter. He's 6'5".
Yeah.
Anyway, town to make condom carrying mandatory. Bogota, Colombia, of all places. I wonder if there's a connection to the general resources there. That's the cocaine capital of the world, right? Love makes the world go round when Bogota, Colombia goes to sleep, right?
So it's really for mules. It's not the obvious application.
Animal, don't forget to wear your condom.
We decided to do the TV show that Nick invented just in the last episode here. We're going to call it Animal's House.
Animal's House. All
right.
What do you think? But the episode where you have to tell Animal to wear a condom. Right?
Son, I hope you're wearing a raincoat out there.
And he really means a raincoat. A Western Colombian city councilman wants to require everyone in town 14 or older to carry a condom. This is a good idea, but it's outraging local priests. Stop. I know the jokes that are coming, Robin. William Pena.
William who?
All right, maybe I don't. I want to talk to her during the commercials. Get out of here, white man. Get out of here.
David Lee Roth.